gate of the Zen Center. And I, so I kind of appreciate your reappearance. And so I took you as far out there yesterday as we can take you. So if you come back today, you can we can build upon what we where we were yesterday a little bit. But mostly what I want to do today is you now know the continuum on which we travel. And it's very important to have that understanding, because if you don't realize that the journey is really the journey into stillness, then the commentary that we live with throughout the rest of the journey, the from the start till the end, becomes a kind of a truth in itself, and we start believing what we're saying about what we're doing, and we never question it because we're so convinced that what we're saying is the truth, that we never really bridge what we're saying with the stillness of where we're going. Does that make sense? And so without that, without knowing the continuum, we easily get lost. So yesterday was just to present the scale factor, right? From here to there. Today, the journey, we're, most of us aren't able or willing, is probably a better way of saying it, willing to be still. And there's a lot of reasons for why we're not willing to be still, because stillness is essentially the state of the universe. It's the breadth and depth and infinity of everything. And we have thought about ourselves as being finite, as having a particular place and residence and a point that we then work from. And so to go from there to there is a huge leap. And that's why the journey feels as if it takes such a long period of time. We just get used to being quieter. And as we get quieter, we get used to being less demonstrative, less pretentious, less self-asserting. And so as we get quieter, the sense, the egoic sense of ourselves begins to diminish. And we get used to that. We actually start appreciating the space that comes in when we are not as contracted from our noise. And so the journey is really the journey into stillness, as I mentioned yesterday, but it often requires time so that we can get used to the waters of what we're going, to the temperature, and that means something to us, that it has value. When you just look at the two points on the graph, the beginning point and the end point, why would I want to go there? You know, that, I mean, what is it that holds for me? Why not stay where I am? So much of the journey has to do with why we don't want to stay where we are and what the value is in letting it go and being still. And that all requires some learning and understanding on our part. For instance, part of the graph, part of this continuum, is in the beginning, most of us start out sort of self-debasing. We have a lot of contention with ourselves, and we don't really like ourselves that well. And that, of course, is part of the whole noise that we create, is the self-arguments, the self-belittlement that is there in the beginning. And so a part of the first part of the journey is learning to be quiet with ourselves, to appreciate ourselves, to accept ourselves, to love ourselves. And again, that early part of the journey can be, it can become an eddy of itself, so that you never get out of that spin. Like the leaf, you know, you just keep going around and around, and because there's always something more that you can improve upon yourself, isn't there? So you can love yourself more than the way you've loved yourself now. And so that progression of loving oneself is forever, a forever journey. So wherever we are on this graph, it can become a little eddy in itself, and we never actually come back into the headwaters to move downstream. Remembering, though, and that's why I present the whole graph from the beginning, wow, this is about being still. It's not about self-loving. Self-loving is an aspect of being still. It's the aspect of the journey out of ourselves. We have to love ourselves out of this journey. In fact, the whole journey is to love ourselves out of our... When you love something, you don't have argument with it. You don't have a contraction around it. You don't begrudge it. There's a willingness, a complete openness to allowing it to be what it is, which is stillness, you see? So what, you see where we're going on this thing? That's the entire way to frame it. And so wherever we are, and even if we aren't willing to be completely still, we can bring forth that end result into what we're doing. So if we don't feel good about ourselves, see, the whole of the practice has been orchestrated to bring us to stillness. So what in Vipassana do we do when we have an emotion that we don't appreciate in ourselves? We're just quiet with it. We just look at it. We just observe. We allow it to be what it is. We don't try to make anything more of what it is. And as we allow it to be what it is, it shows itself to be harmless, that we don't have to be as personally involved in it as we thought we did. We don't have to invest a personal relationship with it, that it has a impersonal quality to it, which is what? Which is stillness. We develop the willingness to be still with ourselves all along the way. Does that make sense to you? You see? You see how important it is to know where we're going on this? And then there's another component to the continuum. Now, this is just one continuum, as I mentioned yesterday. From suffering to non-suffering is another perfectly appropriate and defined continuum within the Buddha's teaching. It's just that we don't have to not suffer means that we don't have any resistance, which means that we're still. So each continuum fits into all the other continuums. It's just different frames of reference for the same continuum. Right? From contraction to love. Love is complete allowance. Contraction is complete contentiousness. So you see? And what I like to do is to find in you what your natural continuum is, and then work with that continuum rather than to fit you into the Buddhist continuum or any other. Because each of us have a natural inclination, and that may change over time. And the issue of suffering and non-suffering is a kind of a uniform, is a fits all, because all people realize that they're suffering and that they can suffer less by being quieter to themselves and therefore more accepting, and therefore on and on. So O positive, the blood that's universal, whatever that universal blood type is. From suffering to non-suffering is a universal blood type that all of us can fit into. But often we have specific needs, you know. And I have found one that is also a very closely, that has a lot of crossover and appeal, is from noise to stillness. Because everybody feels like there's, especially when you start sitting, there's just so much going on up here. How do I shut this thing up? What's going on? And we begin to see that the arguments that we have are, and the contention and the contraction we feel around those arguments never lets up, and we just keep suffering. And we don't realize what we're doing. We're supposed to have 7 factors of something and 5 something else's. And it just adds more noise and more reaction to us, because we don't have enough of the 7 of this's. And we're slipping on the 5s. And what were those 4s? You know, and it's like, oh, God. It's like being in, you know, it's like, oh. Like you didn't do your homework and you're being called upon. So it's the realization, this is just to be quiet. And we have, I mean, I sometimes I come to an area and I think, wow, this is natural stillness here. I mean, look at the mountains. You got the ocean. People journey halfway across the United States to get to the ocean so that they can what? So that they can be at peace with themselves because of the natural ability of the ocean to awaken what is natural within us. And you all live with it. You know, you live with the mountains. You live with the forest. Yes?
Are you aware that there's a nuclear submarine base?
There's always a nuclear submarine base. There's always something like that, right? So that's the noise. What are you doing here? If it's not the nuclear submarine base, it's the person sitting next to you. Let's disarm that woman.
That particular island is the most natural, you know, it's well protected, so it's beautiful.
Yeah. So we're looking at some, you see, I just want you to get the way, so now when you walk out of this weekend, hopefully you'll know your way. And if you're in some kind of contracted way back in, and you're not willing to, you know, put yourself way out there into stillness and, you know, it's, okay, just keep looking and asking pertinent questions that keep you moving toward the other end of the continuum. And those questions have to do with the limitation of where we're placing ourselves. Usually it's around some kind of beautification or pleasantry or indulgence that we're doing with life, that we don't feel enough rub to even want to move out of it. Now that's the other, when you have this much coming at you, there is a can be a natural inclination towards indulgence. So I hope you see some of that. You live in the, you know, if you live in Bedford-Stuyvesant, you don't have quite the same, right? Leaving the neighborhood is a given. But here, this is where you move to, not from. And so it can have a hold on us. Just to be aware of that. So that, and what so much of Buddhism has to do with looking at the limitations of where we're in a holding pattern. Because wherever we're in, wherever there is a rub going on in our need for those, the conditions that we have indulged, that we're indulging to continue and persist. So, you know, it's not quite as nice when the mountains are covered with the usual cloud or fog or it rains or, you know, it's like, so then are we waiting for the right conditions so that we can get our pleasure back? So always looking at where it is that we're being complacent. Where it is that we're resting. There is no rest on this path. Not, there's relaxation, but there's no rest, if you understand what I mean. There's no saying, this is it. There's an ultimate sense of this is it. But as long as we're holding in a holding pattern, then we have to constantly be questioning the limitation as well, the value of the holding pattern we're in, what we're getting from it. We allow ourselves to, you know, whatever. And then the limitation of what we're doing. And the Buddha says that the limitation will always, the value will always pale by comparison to the limitation. And so you'll always be moving towards more and more stillness, because wherever we're holding, that's a clutching, a grasping, a contraction, and a noise. And wherever you're releasing, letting go is a quieting down and a stillness. And so the journey is the journey of letting go. The journey is the journey of releasing. Make sense? So I wanted to round it out for you, you know, so that you didn't feel that you were doing something wrong in your meditation. None of you are doing anything wrong. But you need to look up from time to time and make sure that you are, you know, that you have, that you're hearing the foghorn, that you're seeing the lighthouse. It's called wise view. And you go, okay, so what should I ultimately do with this problem that I seem to... How about first let's try to be quiet before I do anything. See if we have the capacity to be still with it. And if you don't have the capacity to be still with it, then work with it in whatever ways seems to be getting you towards that stillness. But ultimately, the path is the journey to stillness. And so that's what meditation is. And at some point along this continuum, at some point you hit a stumbling block in subtlety of what stillness means. And because we're carrying ourselves with us for much of the journey, making ourselves be quiet, but that's not stepping out of self-deception. Stepping out of self-deception is knowing that the sense of self itself is a noise factor. And having enough awareness and observation and understanding of that noise factor to no longer want to carry it down the rest of the continuum. And so we step out of ourselves. So that's the journey. Okay? And some people can leap it. Like that. Most people, it's like a abacus. You know, most of us is like that. But where are we actually going? The journey isn't really a journey. It's a quieting. Is a quieting a journey? You see? We're just getting quieter. That's all we're doing. Okay, good.